Steve Greenfield is the Green candidate of New York's 19th District, currently held by first-term Republican Congressman John Faso. Okay, so let's start, Steve, if you can, about the traditional question. Why are you running?
I'm running for the same reason that anybody else would be running, because we do need some new policies brought into the federal government, and I believe I'm well qualified and well researched to bring those policies.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, the second question. The second question, I'm sure you get it all the time. The Democrats are going to need every vote they can get to unseat John Faso, obviously. Why should New York 19 residents vote for a third-party candidate this year of all cycles who might, in fact, ruin the Democratic chances?
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, you know, as we've discussed via email in the past, the premise that my presence in this race would subtract votes from the Democratic Party is an incorrect premise. And I don't just say that in a theoretical sense. I have hands-on experience with that. I ran for county legislature in 2003. I got over 20% of the vote in that race. And it was entirely made up of new turnout. And 2 years later, when I didn't run, the turnout went right back down. The Democrat and the Republican in those races got the same number of votes that they got historically, both before and after I ran. So the idea that I would be subtracting votes from a Democrat is a flawed premise. I mean, obviously, it's the question that we get all the time.
Sure.
But there's no math to justify it. There's no, even from a philosophical standpoint, it's important that we understand that the message that's being given to people about how they should not vote for the things that they want, and instead vote for things that they would more want to avoid, even if it's only a subtle distinction between the two that they're trying to avoid, is such a powerful squelching of our democracy. You know, we talk about voter suppression. There's no greater voter suppression than constantly reminding people that there's something wrong with voting for the things they want. It's such an undemocratic principle and such an incorrect message. We grow up idealistic. I'm an Eagle Scout myself. I was raised with this idealism about democracy. And then for my entire adult life, literally since I started voting during the Carter-Reagan election, the very first thing I heard after a year of protesting against renewed draft registration was, well, but of course you're going to vote for Carter because he's, you know, because he's running against Reagan. And I said, right from the start, I said, no, of course I'm not going to vote for Carter. I can't spend an entire year protesting against somebody and then give them my vote. And I'm here to help renew that sense of idealism as well. You know, if you constantly vote for the things that you don't want, you're going to constantly get the things that you don't want. And, you know, I just was reading the newspaper this morning and found out that all four of the other independent candidates in this race have been removed from the ballot by the Rhinebeck Democratic Committee through their ballot challenge. This is as much voter suppression as any kind of regulation like limiting the hours of voting or caging in minority neighborhoods or anything else of that nature. We need to have a restoration in this country, especially if you are of a liberal persuasion. Conservatives are generally voting for the things they want. So they're getting what they want. And on the other side of the coin, liberals, by their own admission, are regularly holding their noses and voting for things they don't want. And it's entirely up to you. Nobody owns your vote. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. I am on the ballot, and I am a prior office holder, so my record can be cross-examined and found to be accurate. Let's have a return to that idealism. That's why I'm here. And sometimes I get the impression that it is the open promotion of idealism that creates so much of the hostility towards the Green Party and towards minor party candidates.
You sense that there's hostility?
Oh, there's tremendous hostility. You know, I could show you my inbox. You know, I get threats.
Really?
Most people I know. Yes, we do. And this is really part of the consequence of this conversation of raising this false premise that a minor party candidate or a Green Party candidate in particular is going to be supporting Trump, is going to be electing a candidate that supports Trump. That's really what you're creating. You're creating an environment where now people are reacting in ways because of the extremeness of Trump. I mean, I don't soft pedal that, right? Nothing's worse than Trump. You're not going to have any argument about that from me. The only argument we're going to be having is what is the approach to dealing with Trump? You know.
So what's wrong with Delgado, the Democratic candidate? We had obviously a debate here before the primary. He won. Seemed pretty far out to the left to me.
Well, you know, I can't say, you know, I listen to you regularly on the radio. I've been listening to you for 17 and a half years now. And you know, I'm not surprised to hear you describe him that way, because there's been an incredible degeneration of what we call the left in ordinary political discourse in the mainstream media today. And I don't really understand how that developed. It's overwhelmingly directed towards social causes, not economic causes, as the left was traditionally defined. But when you have somebody who comes here who is telling you, while California is burning to the ground as we speak, and British Columbia was just declared into a state of emergency for the same reasons, you know, for wildfires out of control, and we're about to enter an El Nino cycle, so the air is going to get even hotter and drier over the next 5 years. For somebody to come here and say, I flat out refuse to endorse legislation that will transition this country in its electrical power grid from fossil fuel generation to renewable forms, how can anyone treat that as anything else than an emergency? You have two candidates from the major parties that are both telling you they have no interest in doing anything to reduce fossil fuel consumption. And we know that fossil fuel consumption is the emergency of our time. It is the wildfire of our time. You know, I go fight them myself. I'm a volunteer firefighter. I've been to many of these fires, and it's devastating. And it's not just environmentally devastating. It's commercially devastating because of the outdoor recreation industry being closed down while these events are happening and the damage that they cause. And so you have somebody who comes here from a company. He's an anti-regulatory criminal defense lawyer and a white-collar criminal defense lawyer in the employ of the world's largest fossil fuel lobby. And he comes here and tells you straight to your face that he will not endorse Tulsi Gabbard's OFF Act, that he will not be endorsing that act. I do not know how it's possible for people who are concerned about those issues to say, sure, that's the person I'd like to create a new incumbency for. That I'm going to give a permanent seat in Congress to the fossil fuel lobby. Why would you do that while we're in the midst of seeing the devastating consequences, which we know are only going to get worse? We're not going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and start to make progress on climate change when a candidate is opposing a green infrastructure initiative, when a candidate is opposing reductions of fossil fuel consumption. So that's what we should be talking about, instead of using, you know, terms that have really lost much of their meaning, like left and right. We should be using terms like, how do you solve the problem? And, you know, in the late 1800s, when people were starting to appreciate how, for example, that the private insurance delivered firefighting system in this country was failing to protect homes and cities from fires, and that we needed to switch to essentially a single payer system in firefighting for a variety of reasons, like there's only one fire hydrant on the block, so you can't have multiple fire companies responding. We stepped up to that and we solved that problem, and we need to do that again.
I only have a minute here, but I wanted to ask you this. If it turns out that Delgado loses by 15 votes, you won't feel bad.
Well, it's not a matter of will I feel bad. You know, I'm not going to feel good if John Faso wins. I'm not going to feel good if Antonio Delgado wins. I'm not going to feel good either way. And that's, you know, the point of what I'm talking about here. People come to me and say to me, look, you're not going to get what you want. The government of the United States is not going to take correct actions on solving our pressing problems. And so you, sir, just have to deal with it. And not just me, but anybody who would be interested in voting for those things, to say, you just have to deal with the fact that we are not going to be solving any of the problems that you would like to see solved. And that's a suppressive conversation.
We've been talking to Steve Greenfield of New York's 19th District, currently held by first-term Republican John Faso. Steve, thanks for joining us today. When we come back the next time, I want people to get to know you a little better.
Thank you very much for having me, and I certainly look forward to coming back and continuing these conversations.